Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. We'll begin today's reading on the front page of the paper with an article entitled, ISU Moves Most Classes Online. Most classes at Illinois State University will be online only when the fall semester begins later this month, officials announced on Tuesday. President Larry Dietz said in an email to students and faculty that the university learned late last week it would not receive some testing equipment and supplies that were expected before classes started. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services relocated the equipment and supplies to other agencies, he said. HHS did not immediately respond to a request for comment Tuesday. While this is a disappointment, it is exactly why multiple resources must be in place in order to provide testing for our students, said Dietz, who said testing would be provided at Student Health Services for students who experience symptoms. The news came less than a month after the university rolled out details of its Redbirds return plan that had said classes would be a mix of online, in-person, and hybrid offerings, depending on the subject. Some faculty members had continued to raise concerns about the availability of testing, the enforcement of mask requirements, and other issues. ISU has been really, really struggling with what the right formula for what the fall semester will look like, Normal Mayor Chris Kuz said Tuesday afternoon. It seems that they are erring to the side of caution, and I applaud them for that. Kuz said the university made the right decision in light of a recent uptick of cases in McLean County. While he acknowledged it would affect the local economy, Kuz said it's more important to keep people safe than count dollars. He added that it is likely that some students will return to the community to online courses from their apartments. For Tori Puffer, a 23-year-old music education student who lives in Normal, the university's announcement came as a relief. While she acknowledged that online learning can present challenges, Puffer had already talked to her professors about taking classes online because of lung problems that make her fall into a high-risk category. Music education courses typically involve one-on-one lessons, ensemble work, and duets, which can be difficult to replicate in online courses. She has registered for 13 credit hours this semester after dropping one course that wouldn't be worth the money to take online. Still, Puffer is pleased with the decision announced Tuesday. "I hate online learning. It is not an effective way to learn for me," said Puffer, who plays the trombone, "but I want ISU to make all of our classes online for our safety." Normal, ISU, Heartland Community College, and McLean County Unit 5, as well as several local businesses, have formed a COVID-19 task force to formulate an educational campaign in an effort to keep people safe. Kuz said the task force expects to release more information about their plan next week. Dietz said the university would continue to offer classes that require a face-to-face component, sciences, music, and art, in person when necessary. "I realize that this decision, being made very close to the beginning of the fall semester, is not ideal," he said. "However, this decision was based in science guidance from public health officials and takes into consideration the university's current testing capabilities and other resources." The housing and meal plan contract cancellation date has been extended to August 18th, the second full day of classes. Safety measures within university housing include social distancing in all common areas, no triple or quad occupancy rooms, enhanced cleaning, and no off-campus or overnight guests. Sarah Greenberg, a graduate student in the Communications Sciences and Disorders Department, said she was frustrated with the timing of the university's decision. She said a move to remote classes should have been announced in May or June, not 2 weeks before classes began. "It feels unfair to students who have signed leases," said Greenberg of Normal. "I think it's coming way late. I'm glad that it's happening, even if it is late. It just seems like now they're going to have to backtrack and people are going to be really confused." Prior to ISU's announcement, Greenberg chose to take online classes this fall due to having a weaker immune system. She was also concerned with how masks would be enforced for in-person classes and the availability of COVID testing to students. McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight said schools and institutions of higher education are facing a challenging situation as they prepare for the fall semester. They are tasked with weighing the full spectrum of benefits and risks of both in-person and virtual learning options, and are making constant adjustments to their plans as new information and guidelines become available, she said. "We support all of the hard work and effort that's being put in by all our community institutions to promote a learning environment that is as safe as possible for students, faculty, staff, and the community." What to know in brief, most classes will move online with some exceptions if face-to-face work is needed. Meal and housing plan contract cancellation date has been extended to August 18th. Testing will be available on campus for students with COVID-19 symptoms, and students should check the fall course schedules in the coming days for changes in course format. Space issues continue. Space issues are continuing at the McLean County Jail after the Illinois Department of Corrections turned away at the prison gates 33 inmates scheduled for transfer, Sheriff John Sandage said on Tuesday. Sandage this week confirmed that 5 people associated with the jail, 3 inmates, a correctional officer, and a counselor, have confirmed cases of COVID-19. The news sparked continued calls from members from local Black Lives Matter and the Next Gen initiative groups for the release of those who are being detained before trial and cannot afford the bond they would need to post for release. Members of the groups held a rally outside the jail Monday and on Tuesday, sent a number of letters to be read aloud to the county board's Justice Committee, where Sandage reported the current situation to committee members. He said 3 inmates were transferred to IDOC on Tuesday, but 4 vans of other inmates were turned away. The transfer came after a judge on Monday ruled in favor of the Illinois Sheriff's Association, including Sandage, in its lawsuit against Governor J.B. Pritzker. The governor had temporarily halted county jails from moving prisoners into state-run facilities. Vans filled with 36 inmates left Bloomington at 5 a.m. Tuesday for the Stateville Correctional Center in Crest Hill, but IDOC officials said they could take no more than 3. "We were hoping to get rid of 36. But when we only got rid of 3, Sandage told the McLean County Justice Committee Tuesday evening. They said they ran out of space. Judge Jonathan Wright ruled in Logan County Monday that the IDOC must accept inmates within 14 days of transfer. The Sheriff's Association estimated about 2,000 inmates are awaiting transfer to state facilities, including 44 in McLean County. The lawsuit was filed in Logan County in May, and McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp said an appeal has been filed by the state, which could be ruled on at any time. That ruling could come tonight, or it could take several weeks, he said. That is how the appellate court operates. One of those inmates awaiting transfer has been diagnosed with the coronavirus and is in isolation. He was not among the group sent to Stateville. "I feel fortunate that is all we have had," said Sandage, who met with county health officials on Monday to discuss the situation. An outside company is coming to the jail on Wednesday to completely sanitize it, he added. Inmates and staff are tested every 5 days and will continue to be until the pandemic weakens. Because the meeting was held virtually, residents who wanted to address the committee did so by submitting written comments. Nearly 20 letters were read into the record by county staff during the 30-minute time period for public discussion, and officials said others were received but were not read because of the time limit. Chairman George said all letters, including the unread letters, would be entered into the record. The Pantograph is seeking copies of the comments through a Freedom of Information Act request. Many of the letters reiterated a call to end the system of cash bail that requires people awaiting trial to post a portion of their bond amount before being released. So many folks in the community have warned McLean County and specific members of the Justice Committee of the pandemic reaching the inside of the jail, wrote resident Candace Bird. "We were ignored and practically laughed at by Sheriff Sandage, as he had everything under control and was taking precautions." Well, it has hit the county, and so many innocent lives are at stake. There are folks within the county just awaiting a bond hearing or cannot afford bond before trial. The letters also called for the jail to cease profiting of the system that allows inmates and their families to communicate virtually. People who go to the jail to visit with inmates can do so through a video system for free, but fees are charged for phone and remote video communication. Many criticized the sheriff for not following through on an earlier proposal from IC Solutions, a communications company which sets up telephone and communication services for jails and prisons. Citing emails between the sheriff and the company, they said IC Solutions had offered video visitation services to allow inmates to contact loved ones at no charge, and Sandage had declined. It has recently came to light that IC Solutions had already set up the infrastructure for free consultation services and then were instructed to end the program altogether, wrote Doug Cook, one of the residents. "To me, this tells me that cruelty is the point of these actions, or that the McLean County Jail has something to hide." Fees for phone and video conferencing are dictated through a contract approved by the county board. He issued a statement Monday and told the committee that on-site video visitation has been available since June 1st. On-site visits were suspended between March 12th and June 1st. Sandage did not address the allegations and issue of fees for other forms of communication during the meeting. Inmates could be seen on Tuesday afternoon holding up signs through the jail windows with messages including "Help me" and "No hot food." A photo on social media showed another inmate holding up a sign indicated he had been locked up in his cell for 36 hours. Sandage said he would need more details before being able to confirm or deny the assertion. Without knowing who the inmate is, I cannot say for sure, Sandage told the pantograph. Inmates are let out of their cells for 1 hour a day, but if they choose not to come out, they could be in there that long. She called. Uh-huh. So he's got somebody that he can just say, well, call them.
Right.
So, yeah. So she was just calling because he wanted to know about changing his bandage, what he was supposed to do. And I was recording, so I didn't take it. So it went to voicemail. And then she said, she goes, well, I'll call Steve, too. Oh. So you probably have one. Because he can't. Okay. McLean County reports 18 more cases. 18 more McLean County residents have been diagnosed with COVID-19 after a record high number of people were tested for the virus at the testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds. LaSalle County reported on Tuesday its third COVID-related death in 2 days. A man in his 90s has died, bringing to 21 the number of COVID-related deaths in LaSalle County since March, said Leslie Dougherty, LaSalle County Health Department Public Information Officer. LaSalle County Health Department on Tuesday also announced 22 new COVID cases, bringing that county's total to 579 people diagnosed with the virus since March. The 22 new cases ranged from children to people in their 60s. Of LaSalle's cases, 266 people have recovered. McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight reported Tuesday that the 18 additional county residents who have tested positive for the novel virus brings to 570 the number of people from McLean County who have been diagnosed since March 19th. The latest tally means that 310 county residents have been diagnosed since the increases in cases began at the start of July. However, the county's positivity rate, the percentage of the more than 26,700 tests of McLean County residents that have come back positive for the virus, remained at 2.1%, the health department reported. The county's positivity rate for the 7 days ending on Monday was 2%. Sheriff John Sandage told the Pantograph on Tuesday that the number of people associated with the McLean County Jail who have confirmed COVID cases remained 5. 3 inmates, 1 correctional officer, and 1 counselor. COVID test results have been received for nearly all of the jail's 230 inmates, 70 correctional officers, and staff, and 3 counselors, he said. The 18 additional McLean County cases confirmed on Tuesday follows 718 people tested on Monday at the COVID-19 test site at the McLean County Fairgrounds. McLean County Emergency Management Agency reported on Tuesday. That's a record high since testing began at the fairgrounds, located at 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington, on March 28th. Testing is being conducted by Pekin-based Reditus Laboratories. Reditus CEO Dr. Aaron Rossi told the Pantograph on Tuesday that people being tested at the fairgrounds should expect results 3 to 4 days later. They should call us at the phone number on the sheet of paper they were given after being tested if they don't hear back, Rossi said. Of the confirmed COVID cases in McLean County, 451 people have recovered, 17 more than Monday. 102 are isolating at home, one more than Monday, and two are hospitalized, unchanged from Monday, the health department reported. 15 county residents have died of the virus. The most recent deaths were reported on July 7 and 9. Everyone is at risk for getting COVID-19 if they are exposed to the virus, but some people, older adults and people with compromised immune systems, are more likely than others to become severely ill, McKnight said. Cloth face coverings can reduce the spray of droplets when worn over the nose and mouth, preventing a person who is sick from spreading the virus to others, McKnight said. Everyone should wear a cloth face covering in public and when around people who don't live in their household, and should stay at least 6 feet away from people outside their household, McLean said. Meanwhile, Woodford County on Tuesday had 8 more COVID cases, that county's largest daily increase, said Andrea Ingerson, Woodford County Public Health. That brings to 108 the number of residents of that county who have confirmed COVID cases since March. 7 of the 8 new cases were people under 30. Of the 108 residents, 69 have recovered, 36 are in home isolation, and 3 died earlier this year. Tazewell County Health Department reported 14 new cases, bringing that county's total to 404. Of those, 229 have recovered, 157 are in home isolation, 10 are hospitalized, and 8 died earlier this year. Livingston County Health Department reported 6 new cases, bringing that county's total to 100. All 6 had no symptoms at the time of their testing. 81 of Livingston County's 100 cases have recovered, 17 are isolating, and 2 died earlier this year. Illinois Department of Public Health reported 1,471 new cases of COVID and 19 additional deaths, including an Iroquois County man in his 60s, an Iroquois County woman in her 80s, and a Morgan County man in his 90s. The statewide positivity rate for cases as a percent of total tests for the 7-day period ending Monday was 3.9%. Today's Flick Fact question. A recent Flick Fact extolled the rising stardom of country singer Brett Eldridge, 34, the Paris, Illinois product, already with 5 number one hits, and who also often sings of his love for his hometown. If Brett's parents become singers, what might they sing about? And the answer? Maybe Bloomington Normal, or even Avanti's, the legendary restaurant. Eldridge's mom, Robin Vanderlag Eldridge, is an Illinois State University alum, and his dad, Chris, is a former Illinois Wesleyan basketball star during the Jack Sikma era in the mid-70s. Avanti's? Dad loves the subs there, says Brett, so that's where we're always gone when in Bloomington Normal. Interestingly, the uncle of Chris Eldridge, Brett's great uncle, is another Bloomington Normal icon, Gene Smithson, the ISU coach from 1975 to 78, whose teams were 66-18 and beat Larry Bird's Indiana State squad, and in 1978 were ranked as high as number 13 nationally. Still the best in ISU program history in the Division I era. Today in history, today is Wednesday, August 5th. It's the 218th day of 2020, and we have 148 days left in this year. On August 5, 1974, the White House released transcripts of subpoenaed tape recordings showing that President Richard Nixon and his chief of staff, H.R. Haldeman, had discussed a plan in June 1972 to use the CIA to thwart the FBI's Watergate investigation. Revelation of the tape sparked Nixon's resignation. On this day in 1864, during the Civil War, Union Admiral David G. Farragut led his fleet to victory in the Battle of Mobile Bay, Alabama. And in 1914, what's believed to be the first electric traffic light system was installed in Cleveland, Ohio. And how time flies locally from the past pages of the pantograph, 100 years ago on August 5, 1920. The watermelon man has won a round in court. The city tried to collect a $10 license fee from Morris Roth for peddling watermelons on the street, but Roth claimed he shipped the melons to town and trucked them to grocers, so he was a wholesaler, not a peddler. 75 years ago on August 5, 1945, Mrs. John Riggs is back in town. While she's here, she will be a guest at a reunion of her former students at the county school in Saybrook, where she taught in the 19th century. Mrs. Riggs died in 1963 at the age of 104. She outlived many of her students. 50 years ago, on August 5, 1970, the city issued a $30.9 million in permits for State Farm to build a corporate headquarters on the east side. The project will be the largest in Bloomington's history. The 12-story tower will be the heart of the project, and 2 4-story office buildings are also included in the plan. And 25 years ago today, on August 5, 1995, the state has rejected a proposal to build an inpatient clinic. OSF St. Joseph's and Broman Hospitals vehemently opposed the idea. Promoters say the center would have offered patients and insurers a low-cost option for surgery. Bloomington's 5-day forecast today is going to be partly sunny and nice with a high temperature of 74 degrees. Tonight will be mainly clear. The low is expected to be 56 degrees. Thursday, again, partly sunny and pleasant, temperatures ranging between 77 and 57 degrees. Friday will be beautiful with some sunshine, a high temperature of 79 degrees and a low of 64 degrees. Saturday, you can expect clouds and spotty thunderstorms. It will be a bit warmer, temperatures ranging between 84 and 70 degrees. And on Sunday, partly sunny and very, very humid. The high temperature will be 87 degrees and the low will be 71 degrees. I'll take a short break now, and then return with the second half of the pantograph for Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. Please stay tuned.